Talking to peers can be a vital tool for making it through dark times. But what happens when your friends and loved ones aren't around anymore? That's the situation for many older gay men in San Francisco, whose community was decimated by the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s and 90s. 30 years ago, getting diagnosed was almost always a death sentence. Nobody understood the disease, and treatments were at least a decade away. Nowadays, HIV is more of a chronic condition, one that can be managed with drugs and medical care. In San Francisco, the majority of people infected are over the age of 50 and have been living with the disease for many years. Those long-term survivors got the attention of San Francisco Chronicle health reporter Aaron Alden.
What really brought it to my attention as an issue was actually the suicide of Jonathan Klein, who was a long-term survivor. He'd been infected with HIV since the 80s. And I didn't know Jonathan Klein. I'd never heard of him before, but I heard about his suicide, and it just struck me as incredibly sad and tragic that somebody who had outlived this epidemic, who had come out on the other side, would end his life.
Alday's reporting project, Last Men Standing, turned into a multimedia story and a feature-length documentary film. I talked to Aaron Alday and filmmakers Tim Husson and Aaron Breathauer about the project. What kind of themes were you getting from talking to these people, these many people? At the end, you whittled them down to kind of 8. What were you hearing? What were some of the common threads?
Well, Tim and I joined, we were paired together to start working on the video and film last June. And we started working with these 8 men. And some of the themes that were coming through, I think, immediately were, you know, they're really struggling with isolation and loneliness. And also, you know, there's a host of health problems they've been struggling with, but there's also this, like, mental health component of how do you recover when you think you had this death sentence way back when, you've survived, and how do you kind of go on living?
The stories definitely vary, but there are a lot of common themes that are expressed in both the film and the written piece about, like Aaron said, isolation and loneliness, trying to find a connection to the world around them.
And they're about 60 years old, 50, 60?
50 to 70.
Mm-hmm. 50 to 70.
I think the youngest was 56.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And the oldest is now 71. So some of them have partners, a lot of them don't. I mean, they've seen a lot of their close friends and community die, so it's been hard for a lot of people to build that up again, and some have been more successful than others, but it is definitely kind of like one of the biggest themes, and I think they'll tell you that too.
Aaron Alday, can you tell me one story that is striking to you?
Wow, I don't know if there's any any one story. I mean, I guess I'll start with maybe Ganymede, who was one of the first men that I spoke with for the story. And I was surprised because he was one of the first people I talked to, and his story just immediately grabbed me, which is just this idea that he'd lost, one lover in the middle of the worst years of the AIDS epidemic. I think he died in the peak year, in fact, in 92 or 93. Ganymede pulled back from that. He recovered. He kind of was ready to press on and move on. And then he, you know, met another man and he fell in love. And it's, you know, the early 2000s. And at that point, we had drugs to treat AIDS. People were living. This was already becoming more of a chronic condition than a death sentence. And that was after sort of the tide had turned and AIDS was a totally different, the epidemic was a different character. Mm-hmm. And here's Ganymede with his new lover, Steven, and they have this happy life, and they feel like they have survived alone together. And then Steven gets sick, and Steven dies.
Okay, so let's take a listen to Ganymede in the film.
For many years, we forgot that we were dying. We were pillars standing amidst the ruins, because our community had already been devastated. From 88 to 95, easily 60, 80 people I knew had died. We lost a whole generation of men, noble men, intelligent men, wise men, amazing human beings. Think how much further along our whole civilization would be if we still had those men among us today. My heart was broken so many times that there came a point when I just didn't want to go through that anymore.
That was the voice of Ganymede, one of the people featured in Last Men Standing. With me are the team behind the project and the film, Aaron Brethauer, Tim Husson, and Aaron Alday. We hear about survivor's guilt. Was that prominent in what you were hearing?
You know, I have to say, I don't know if you guys feel this way, that was not something that came up really that much. I asked everybody about that, and a lot of the guys said no. And I think that it was something that had crossed their minds, and certainly it was something that a lot of them had felt at various times over the years, but it wasn't something that seemed to be a common struggle or a persistent struggle. And I think a lot of that is because a lot of these guys said, quite frankly, that survival was really tough. They were really, really struggling. And as grateful as every one of them was to still be here and to have survived, they were in tough spots. And I mean, Peter Green talked a lot about that, about being, you know, the unluckiest lucky person alive. And that really captures that kind of idea that, yeah, of course he's lucky and he's grateful to still be here, or he passed away. But he was not lucky to still be dealing with, you know, all of the fallout.
Did you make personal relationships or like a personal contacts with anybody? Anybody special?
Yeah, I think when someone shares their life story with you, you know,
there's a connection.
Yeah, who puts their heart out and tells you everything that's happened, there is, like, you do develop a really deep connection with them.
I mean, we probably cried with every one of these guys at various times, and yeah, definitely got to be very close with all of them, you know, to varying degrees. But and you know, a couple of them good friends with. I got to be very close with Peter Green. And in fact, a week before he died, I had gone to dinner with him and an old friend of his that was just a friendly dinner. He just had kind of wanted, and he wanted to take us out. It was a big deal to him to be able to take us out, which ordinarily as a reporter, I would never, you know, let somebody, a source, you know, pay for a meal. But I could sense that was something that he wanted to do for whatever reason. It was important to him to, he didn't have a lot of money. And he wanted to treat us. And so I allowed it. And we went to some cheesy fondue restaurant and just had a blast. I mean, just stayed there for a couple hours, just laughing and laughing. And so I did. I had developed a very, you know, strong connection with him. And it was, when he died, it was very hard. And I, you know, I felt sad for that in a way that was more than just, you know, sad that somebody had died. But I felt like I'd lost a friend.
And we might go out with a Peter Green clip then.
Yeah,
this is Peter Green. Let's end by hearing from Peter Green.
Watching my friends die, I realized I'm not immortal. This is going to happen to me. And so that was the beginning of trying to survive. I was going to put my body on the line and hope for the best. What really makes a difference when you look back on your life are those simple human connections. Look people in the eye and tell them what you feel. And AIDS taught me that. I've fought the tide of this, and the chips fall where they may. I'm lucky to have come this far. Just don't ever think that it's over until it is.